This is RSVP the Update, episode 347, recorded Friday, February 10th, 2012. Let your voice be heard. Hello, everybody, and thank you for being with us for another fabulous, as we hope, episode of RSP of the Update. Trekkie's here, as always.
Hi, guys.
So we're just going to sit back, relax. Hopefully you guys can do the same with us here, and we're going to discuss the RS news of the week, whether or not it's groundbreaking, and what it means to you, as always. So We got an interesting week this week, I think. What do you think?
Well, I know for a fact that you love the potions. The potion update.
I do. So this update is the potion flasks, as was promised in the behind the scenes article. Also 6 doses per flask, so essentially now you just put a bunch of flasks in your inventory and you can put a bunch of potions in your inventory, and you will be off to the races to fill all these flasks up. And very useful for combat training and long missions out into the middle of nowhere. Also with this, it's worth noting that the flasks do shatter when they finish, and that, combined with the fact that people can mine a maximum of 50 red sandstone per day, is limiting the supply of these, so the prices are going to go up for the foreseeable future, I think.
Anything new always ends up costing more than they should anyway. So Shane, you like it?
I do. It's something that Herblore has needed for a while, because the bosses people deal with in this day and age are just too strong, and really, there's no real benefit to only having 4 potions. When you use these potions, you have all these vials left in your inventory, and you're left with, you have no space in your inventory, assuming you're using a Beast of Burden. You hit Take Beast of Burden in the little summoning orb up above to withdraw who knows what, food, maybe even more potions, and you have to waste time dropping the vials beforehand. So the fact everything can be now put in a flask is a good thing, because you just drink up from the flask, and then when it's finished, it shatters, and you're free to withdraw more. So it's a good way that it's a consumable. It helps boss fighting people, I think, definitely.
And you get to keep your vials too.
Yeah.
Refill them later. So so just start off with what the skill is. Outside of the Ulangu spy
Uglog.
Area, Uglog, there you go. Outside of the Uglog spy area, there is a red sand mine. You need to have 81 mining in order to access it, and you're allowed to have 50 of them every day. So you go there, and when you enter, there's a little passageway if you have the agility level to get through it. And right in the center of town is a man with a machine that will turn your red sand into something more craftable.
Robust molten glass.
So after that, all you need is a glass pipe and a glass blowing pipe and a 89 crafting. Are you having an asthma attack?
No, I'm blowing my fictitious pipe.
Oh, just your smoke pipe?
No, my glass blowing pipe.
Your bong?
My glass blowing pipe to form these things into flasks.
Oh, Shane. You don't get it, do you? You know what a bong
is? I do, but I'm not going there, because that's not what we're about.
Well, anyway, so you blow it, and then you make a bunch of flasks that you can fill your potions in. So as Shane mentioned earlier, each flask holds 6 doses, so every 2 potions. And if you're trying to fill them up, I found that having 9 flasks and the rest of full inventory of your potions gives you the most best benefit of filling them up faster. The other thing is, what was the other thing? Oh, you can trade the flask, but just so you cannot assist other players in making it. You can also, of course, trade the potions if you want to make some extra cash.
So you say you have nine flasks. So that's 54 doses.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have nine, if the rest of your inventory is filled with potions, and each of those are three doses, that's 57.
Mm-hmm.
So isn't that? I guess that's one extra.
No, yeah, you will have one extra.
Okay. Okay.
So I tried it out. That was the best way I could figure it out, just to fill them up the quickest way possible. The other thing, of course, what is it? What was the other thing I was thinking of?
That you have 100 XP when you make a flask? 100 crafting XP?
Oh, yeah. So that's a decent way of making of getting a little crafting experience on the side every day. It's basically another distraction that you can do.
Yeah.
And, yeah, that's pretty much it. That's pretty much it on the flask.
And it's also worth noting that the robust glass is not tradable, so you do need to make them into flasks before you sell them on the Grand Exchange, if that's what you want to do.
Of course, as you've been doing, you've been putting some other stuff into those flasks and selling them for an even higher price.
Yeah, and you know, I ran the numbers on this, and it's still a bit of profit if you were to just buy the potions and insert them into the flasks. But if you are farming your own herbs and gathering your own nests, it's a huge amount of profit. But if you don't have the ability to farm your own herbs and make your own potions that you want to do, I would just suggest that you sell the flasks on the Grand Exchange because, well, quite frankly, 5k profit is better than 2k profit, as I worked it out, if you were to buy two Ceridoman brew potions and insert them into your flask.
Mm-hmm.
As right now, a Ceridoman brew flask is worth about 25k. The potion flask is worth almost 2900. That's gone up. See, I should have waited on that first day to do that, but oh well, I was greedy. But regular Ceridoman brew itself is a three dose is 10k, so 10.3k. So you're at 20.6k right there. And you combine them into a flask, and you can make a bit of profit. So it all depends, really, on what you have available to you and where. And then, of course, Jagex says, we expect entrepreneurs with the crafting and mining levels to make a healthy profit should they choose to sell them on.
Mm-hmm.
Which is true. So, you know, I think this update was good. In numerous ways. First one, because it changes the way potions are used on the battlefield. Second one, because it adds a reason to have high crafting and high mining. And thirdly, because, well, quite frankly, we don't really get useful updates with staying power for all that long, because I imagine people are going to be using these flasks more than they're using the vials now that they're out. So That's a good thing.
Yep. Also good to know, if you're doing sling, you can have, you know, extra doses and you can last a little bit longer, especially if you're using a lot of prayer potions.
Yep.
I'm sure those will become very, very popular very, very soon.
Yeah, and another thing, this was a Paul update. So the Paul updates, I think, are always the more interesting ones and more worthy ones. Not that we don't like what the other developers do, but I always am a fan of the Paul updates.
Polly.
So anyways, that's pretty much all there is for a flask, about the flask. We tested that and you're not able to assist with them.
Yes, I did mention that earlier, but
which is a good thing, I think. Maybe. I don't know.
I think it's good to have it at 89. It's basically benefiting those who actually spend the time to get it.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you're willing to train yourself to get it, well, more power to you.
Yeah, I got 86 crafting the day before this came out, and I have a bunch of crafting potions, so I just use those when I need to make flasks, and that works well enough for me.
Yeah, so just grab 86 crafting and pot up a little.
Yep.
Always good to have, isn't it? Kind of like, you know, it's a little ironic, you know, you're actually using crafting, you're using a potion to increase your potion making abilities.
Well, indirectly, but so. I think that's all there is to say on flasks. I don't think we've missed anything.
No, not really.
Okay, so tweaks and fixes up next. Seal of Passage is no longer required when visiting Lunar Island after Lunar Diplomacy. As such, the Elite Fremenix task set has some additional rewards. Up to 28 Suka Teeth or Suka Hides can now be traded in daily with Remain Seralis for 9 noted pure essence each. The NPC contact spell now allows players to switch from the Lunar Spellbook to the Ordinary Spellbook, and the Seal of Passage now has a daily teleport to Lunar Isle.
Yay, that's actually helpful for me.
Yeah, but you don't have the elites done, do you?
Damn. I just don't feel like doing Livid Farms.
That's actually not a requirement for the Elite Fremenic Diary, because that was added after.
Oh, Shane. Yep. Hey, Shane, I don't have the elite, but I did just teleport to Lunar Isle using it.
Using the Seal of Passage?
Yeah. It was the only once per day. All right. Haha, Shane.
That's a nice little bug there, that if you've not done the Elite Diary. Are you sure you haven't done the elite portion yet?
No, I'm not done yet with any. I'm not done with item. I'm 33 out of 40.
Oh, that's interesting then. The Seal of Passage.
I don't even think it's a bug. I think that's how they intended to be.
But
anyway.
It says for the Elite Fremenic task set has some new rewards.
No, I think that's the bottom part where they talk about the skull and teeth and all that stuff.
No, this is a part of the. No, this is all under the same bullet point about elite rewards. So it doesn't make sense that you can do that.
Oh, well. Good for me. For now, anyway.
Next up. Graphics for Barrow's equipment has been tweaked upon player feedback. I know you're happy about that one.
Yes, I took some pictures of me and Guthan and Arnhem. Guthan actually looks badass. Arnhem looks decent, although I've heard some people say that Varek still doesn't look quite as good. The skirt is nice, but the top looks clunky.
Okay.
That's what some people have said. So we'll check on. So I posted some pictures up of me and Shane and a couple other people wearing Barrows, and you guys be the judge. I do like the Guthan armor though. Guthan looks really nice.
Also, you're now able to decant potions into any dose variant, and it's also possible to split potions into smaller doses by using a 2-dose potion on an empty vial.
To make a one dose?
Yes, but I'm not sure why you'd need to do that.
Mm.
I mean, all you need really is the 3 and the 4. The 3 being the raw one, the 4 being the one people who want to sell it like that. Because the 3 and the 3, as we mentioned before, go nicely into flasks. So, why not just go with the... I don't know. Like, oh, you also need the 2-dose potion for making the barbarian mixes, but 1-dose? Why do you need a 1-dose potion? I don't know. I don't get that.
Just for the hell of it, I guess.
Okay. Yeah. Slayer-specific drops in Dungeoneering can now only be picked up by the player who dealt the most damage to the creature for the first 30 seconds. So it sounds like they were having an issue with people. Somebody doing all the work, then somebody just swooping in to take the loot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I kind of feel too. Mostly if you're looking for the Shadowhood, Shadow Silk Hood, that's just always, you know, one of the top things to get anyway. Right. You kill the Night Spider and you have a chance to get it, and whoever gets there first gets it.
Yeah, so why not hand it off to the person who dealt the final blow?
Final blow. Well, he's going for who does the most damage in 30 seconds. So basically, the ones who actually hurt it the most. I don't know. Usually, when I go dungeoneering, I don't pug as much anymore, since usually people are stupid as hell. So usually I just go with friends, and whoever needs it, we give it to them. And we don't. If we all have it, then we just move along.
Yep.
Usually we find the Night Spiders in dead ends anyway, so we don't really bother with those.
Okay. Several monsters have also had their slayer or their combat level adjusted to reflect the monsters that have different combat behaviors. No stats have been changed, so just something cosmetic there. And finally, all untradeable potions such as overloads and extreme potions can now be stored with a beast of burden.
Ooh, and I also like the right-click travel option for the dwarf store at the Grand Exchange. And there's a warning when anti-potions are about to wear off. I like those. Those are nice.
There's always been a warning when your anti-fire was going to wear off.
No, anti-poison, not anti-fire.
Okay. Oh, that's good.
Yeah, so, you know, when you're fighting sky worms, you can actually know when it's about to wear out so you don't get poisoned.
Mm-hmm, that's good.
Let's see.
As for tweaks and fixes, let's see. There's a few in the others I wanted to highlight here, but nothing really that important. Picking herbs with the green fingers aura active now gives a feedback message when the effect has caused the player to gain an extra herb. Now that's a good one. I'd like to see the same thing with my magic secateurs. The Ectofiel is now kept on death. I can't begin to say how annoying it was back in the old days, doing a clue, taking the Ectofiel, and having to die or something on a clue. At you have to walk all the way back there from Caniphus to pick another one up. It's nice to finally have that kept on death.
Well, I never usually die with it anyway, so I'm not too picky over it, but good to have.
Yep. Anything else you want to highlight on these? I think I'm pretty much good with them.
No, nothing good. Still wish they would kind of fix up the lag in Taverly, though. It's still kind of laggy down there, but I guess that will take more time.
Yeah, all over the place, actually, frame rates. I guess that's going to come with time, apparently. I don't know what they did to it, but it happened on the Taverly update week, didn't it? I think.
Mm-hmm. So we'll touch base on this later on with the questions anyway, so we'll talk more about that later on.
All right.
Nothing else here in tweaks and updates that I'm really worried about. Most of them are just little tidbits they want to tweak in.
Okay, now it's time for another competition from Jagex, a voice acting competition.
Woo-hoo!
They're wanting players to voice a male and a female character for an upcoming piece of content. So you're gonna get your voice in the game and also have your names listed in the credits. So this is a good time if you're at all interested in that kind of thing. So Trek, you want to try this out? You can be the nurse.
Oh, ha ha, yes, I get to be the girl. That's nice of you.
Ow, my spleen! Ouch, my duodenum! Oh, my pancreas! Oh, gods, all my organs hurt! So much pain! Where am I? He broke my bones, my blood, my everything.
Wow, Shane, you're broken everywhere, aren't you?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, God, I hate you, Shane.
Go ahead.
Okay, let's see.
Like, oh my God, can this wait? I'm trying to attend these soldiers here, okay? Mm-hmm. Oh, no, I didn't. I'll send a stretcher team right away. Oh, come on, girl. These leeches won't distribute themselves. You know that.
Oh, okay. That was... What?
Oh, that's good.
Too bad I can't do it, though. I don't have the hiney, whiny pitch voice, though. That's the problem. What?
I wonder if that would pass.
I don't know. Hey, you recorded this. Why don't you just send it to him in my name and see what happens?
Yeah, I'll I'll see what I can do here.
Yeah, hey, maybe we should have a little competition here on the forum. We'll have people send it in, and then we'll just pick the best three.
Okay, let's do that. If you're at all interested in doing this, send it into JAGX, send it into us. Even if JAGX doesn't use any of ours, we'll still decide which ones you guys like. And, if you're at all interested in voice acting.
And this only works if there's like more than three people entering, so please enter, all right?
Yeah.
Have more than three.
I think we did a good job there.
Shane, you have no feeling in your voice, man.
Oh, I thought I put lots of feeling into that.
Oh!
That was disturbing.
Hey, that was the first line for the soldier.
All right, so you have until February 19th. All you have to do is read yourself reading the script below, send them into competitions@jagex.com. Make sure you include your account name.
Yeah, and how long you want to do for ours? The end of the month?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, we'll do it to the end of the month, and why not? The person who the first person who wins, I'll give away 100K. The second person, I'll give 50, and third person, I'll give 25.
All right, sounds good.
So here's a little incentive for you.
So that's the voice acting competition. It'd be nice to know what kind of quest that was for, don't you think?
Well, let me check out the background on it. Soldier, wooden, jeez. I'm thinking maybe something with Lunar Isle.
Could be.
Let's see. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of so far, but who knows? We'll see what happens.
All right. As we all know, the Fire Cape update is coming later this month, where you will have to sacrifice a Fire Cape to get the upgraded cape. So, rightly so, the fan sites have gotten together and have given JAGX a list of Fire Cape guides. So you can head over to this list if you need a guide on how to do a Fire Cape, and try and get one. But we wish you the best of luck doing that, because, well, quite frankly, getting a Fire Cape is not the easiest thing to do, especially this day and age with all the lag present, and the fact that you need to wait when you click to eat or use a potion or change a prayer. So that's kind of annoying, but we wish you the best of luck.
Well, look at it this way. With the new flask, you can get like more, twice the double the amount of prayer potions.
That's good.
Double the amount of prayer potions and stuff, so that may help. More food.
Yeah.
Watch out for Jad and his mighty foot.
Yeah, I used Bruise and Restores when I did it.
Mm-hmm. Are you want to do it again, Shane?
No, not really, no.
nor do I. Twice was enough. Twice was enough. Maybe one day when I get smarter and less lag and, I don't know, bring my StarCraft 2 more finger abilities into the game.
Well, you know, the thing is that using the StarCraft 2 finger abilities doesn't really help, because RuneScape is all mouse related.
Actually, I used the F1 keys when I was searching between inventory and stuff.
Oh, okay. Okay. Right. Well,
grab like double mouse.
Right. I don't know how that would work.
What was this? Oh. Anyway, let's see. So up next, we have a little lore and histories, Return to Stone.
Yes. Regarding, of course, the Fire Cape quest that's coming out. So if you're interested in the lore, you can read it. If not, I don't blame you. It's kind of long, and the text is not the most ideal format for reading. So it's up to you. But
it's tiny.
Yeah, it is. So, but you know, if you're interested in lore, this is something you'll be looking forward to reading.
Alrighty.
So that pretty much covers us for RS updates this week. We're going to move on to the questions now, where we have three audio questions, a bit shy of our goal for last week of getting 10, but in any case, we'll get started. The first one is from Aiden.
Hey guys, Aiden again. This week I have two questions. My first question is, what is y'all's favorite restaurant and what do you usually get there? My second question is, do you think they'll ever come out with the 4G iPhone? Thanks, and have a great day.
All right, Shane, you go first.
Well, I don't really Olive particularly. No.
Really?
No. Not anymore. No, but...
Why?
I'll tell you later. But for me, it doesn't really matter. It depends on what the place has there and whether or not the service is good, that kind of thing, and whether my dietary requirements are met. For anybody who doesn't know, I am probably severely lactose intolerant, so I can't really do anything that's creamy or cheesy with it, so most pasta places with heavy cheese stuff are out, and top it off, I'm not that big of a fan of pasta, so. It more goes on a black list than a white list for my favorite restaurants, so.
Aw, poor Shane.
But I can tell you that McDonald's is not on that list. I cannot stand the food there.
You eat it when you just want something quick. Don't eat it because you're hungry.
Anyways, you?
Me? I don't really have a favorite. I'm not really picky with food. I don't know, since my mom and sister are vegetarian, we usually go to a Fresh Choice if there's an occasion. It's a little salad buffet place. They always seem to like it, so it's a good place. If I ever come down here, Shane, I'll take you over.
Okay.
You may like it. Lots of salad, lots of chicken, lots of soup.
I thought that it was a vegetarian place.
They serve both, but a lot of them are vegetarian.
Oh, okay.
A lot of meals are vegetarian, I would say.
All right. the 4G iPhone. I think it'll come out at some point, but it won't be called the iPhone 4G.
iPhone 5.
Yeah, the iPhone 5 probably, maybe not. The thing with 4G is that, if I recall, in the U.S., the only network that has true 4G at the moment is Sprint. Am I right?
Uh-huh.
Just like that's here right. In Canada, the only network that has true 4G is Bell. So, and you know, there's a whole marketing thing about what 4G is and the speed you're supposed to get and everything. But the thing I see is that I don't personally see the problem with 3G speed. I find 3G fast enough. I couldn't imagine it being any faster. I don't know about you guys, but 3G is perfectly fine for my needs. So, mm-hmm. And you know, just the way 4G is going to work, I wouldn't exactly bet on Apple doing 4G and the iPhone 5. I think the iPhone 5 might still be a 3G phone and they wait for the next one to go 4G for two reasons. First one being, as I said, right now the only true 4G network in the U.S. is Sprint and battery life. You go to 4G, you are going to have less battery power to work with.
Yes, and they charge a lot slower, too. You remember that I got my Joy Bionic last year, and it's a 4G phone, and I can tell you, I charge it a lot more than my old one.
Yeah, and they just, it just sucks power completely, like even 3G. So I don't think we're ready to go to 4G yet until battery technology advances a bit more. That's what I really think.
Okay.
Because really, if you're on 3G, when did you feel that 3G was not fast enough?
It just came on my phone.
No, I mean, like, if you're using it on a 3G network, have you ever felt that the 3G is not fast enough?
Sometimes, especially, but usually that's because the signal is low in the area.
Okay.
Right, I've tried my Bionic in, like, the same areas. Usually, there's a noticeable difference. Especially if you're really boring, like streaming YouTube clips, you will notice a definite difference between the two.
Yeah, I guess for YouTube and stuff, but I just don't, you know, I just don't see the point of streaming YouTube when you're out and about, because typically you go out and about to do things. You don't go out and about to watch YouTube videos on your phone.
Mm-hmm. Well, you will if you're waiting for somebody, and they usually take forever.
So, anyways, that's just my thoughts on the matter. I don't know if there's anything else to say on that.
Well, we'll see what happens. See what Apple does, especially all the recent news that's been happening on the with the whole sweatshops and whatnot. We'll see what happens.
Well, you know, the thing with that is that it really doesn't matter because do the majority of people who buy a phone care about that?
No, because if they care, they would be in the cave right now.
Exactly.
Living off the land.
Exactly. So, and those people who are working there are free to go get different jobs elsewhere.
Not they, always.
They don't like them.
But, anyways. Hey, you know, those who complain are usually the ones who have nothing better to do anyway.
Yep. So.
Alrighty. All
right. Next question is from Jerry.
And host. Jerry Springer here, and I have recently purchased a new video card. It's an EVGA GT430, and I must say that it performs much better than my old Intel Integrated Graphics Media Accelerator. It maxes out virtually any game, with the exception of Battlefield 3, with playable frame rates. This had me asking why RuneScape performs so poorly lately. So my two tech-related questions for this week are, 1, why is RuneScape running with such low frame rates lately? And 2, is it safe to overclock my video card's specs by 10%? Keep in mind, answering the first question, I defragged and optimized the living crap out of my computer, as well as installed a Pentium dual-core E5300 processor. Thanks so much for taking my question and keep up the amazing podcast. Jerry Springer, out.
Okay, first off, regarding, I want to do the overclocking one first.
All right.
Regarding overclocking, it's something you have to be very careful about. I wouldn't even go 10% as a margin right away. I'd take it up in much smaller increments, like 5%. Mm-hmm. That way, then, you make sure you don't burn anything out, and you want to check each level for stability and whatnot. But the thing I'm wondering about is with the, I think you said EVGA GT 430 or something like that. The thing is, with a card like that, it's not exactly a card that would be designed for overclocking. So the important thing to keep in mind with that is that since the card is not designed for overclocking, it might not be able to handle the added stress of the overclock should you were to actually do the overclock. So just keep that in mind when you're doing it, because you don't want to burn a card out, because I know sometimes those entry-level cards have limits put on so that you can't overclock them. And even if you do break the firmware on it to allow you to overclock the card, the existing cooling units on the card might not be sufficient to cool the card for that overclock. So just keep that in mind, that you're treading into territory where you might be dealing with the potential of damaging your card.
And also keep in mind that usually when you're overclocking, you mostly void the warranty. So at least for here, some graphics cards here, they are. So just be careful, you know, read your manual before you do anything. All right. I know most of us don't read it, but keep in mind, it's there for a reason.
Yes. And, you know, that's another thing. If you have warranty on the card and you void the warranty with that, you won't get any, sympathy from wherever you take it to. So just make sure that this is what you want to do, and you know you're going to, you're going to benefit from it, and you know you're actually going to be able to do it. Alrighty. Now, in regards to RuneScape's performance, this has been an issue of mine for quite some time. Long time, actually.
Uh-huh.
First, I want to say is that it's amazing that RuneScape even works the way it does, given that it's Java. Because, you know, Java is always portrayed to be this slow pig when it comes to programming. And if anything, Jagex has proved otherwise with RuneScape. So that's good. That's good. I'm just putting that out there right now. Now, the second thing with this is that when an update like the bot nuke comes along, or other graphical updates that put more strain on the engine, you are going to feel that in your graphics card. That's inevitable. But the question is, how much are you going to feel that? Now, I have both access to an AMD card and an NVIDIA card, and this is very strange, but the AMD card outperforms the NVIDIA card, even though the AMD card is a laptop card. Mm-hmm. So the that tells me something about the way the game is implemented using OpenGL, and that the OpenGL implementation on Java for NVIDIA is not that great. Essentially, what OpenGL is it's a library that lets a programmer do all kinds of things with the graphics processing unit. So, from drawing the textures to all the water effects and whatnot, they'd farm those out to the GPU using OpenGL. So OpenGL is not as efficient on NVIDIA cards as it is on the AMD card. So that is something there that I think needs to be addressed by JX. And quite frankly, if you're looking for the best performance to play RuneScape, I would get an AMD card. That's the only way there is about it. I mean, I have a GTX 460 on my desktop. And when I go to the Grand Exchange, I get about 30-ish frames per second. Now, on my iMac, I have an AMD Mobile 6970 graphics card, which should perform at a lower level than the GTX 460 because they're both desktop. Or it's a desktop versus a laptop card. So, you know, it just... And the AMD card gets full frame rate. So it's definitely something I've noticed because comparing, say, for instance, an NVIDIA GT330M with an AMD card of a similar spec, it works much better. Even people who have the latest Sandy Bridge Intel integrated graphics on their MacBook Pros have said that, you know, I can play RuneScape on this integrated GPU, whereas on... another machine I have access to, a GT330-based computer, RuneScape HD is just very, very slow. So it is an issue of NVIDIA versus AMD and Intel, I think, with relation to the Java stack. And I don't think there's anything JAX can do to fix this because they can't change the way Java implements OpenGL. They're just using the OpenGL bindings provided to them by Java, and that's all they have to work with. So, in regards to frame rate performance, I don't think much can be done aside from decluttering areas. Sorry for going long-winded there, but I think that answers it.
Well, yeah, I have nothing to add on it. So, anything else, Shane?
Not particularly.
All right, so let's move on to the next audio question that we have.
From RR Man and Sorensen.
I'm gonna grab some earplugs.
But anyway, don't you have a question here?
Skill of the month. I think we should add an entry fee, say 500k to a mil per person, and then the winner of the month takes 50%, second takes 35, third takes 15, and fourth just gets a pretty sticker to put on their shirt.
Yeah, okay, Sorensen, we get it. You won Skill of the Month January. That's great, man. That's great. But you're not getting any more prizes from it, so just let it go, man. Let it go. You got your fancy sticker. I'm jealous. Lastly, before we go, I just want to know if you guys ever plan on having kids. And if you do, when will you let them play RuneScape? What age? And or will you just let them skill on your account so you can gain a bit more XP?
That's against the rules, RR Man.
Yeah, it is, so don't do that. Anyway, this is me, RR Man, signing out. Just have fun spreading those farming seeds, of course.
Keep your seeds healthy because they grow better. I'm Sorensen, see you later.
They grow better.
They grow better.
Right.
No and no? Is that what is that your thought, Shane? No and no? No to the first question and no to the second question?
No, actually. You know, a long time ago, we used to do cash prizes for contests and things like that in-game, but we stopped when the free trade thing came out. And in regards to Skill of the Month and entry fees, it wouldn't be fair to put one of those up. And we don't have the money to just put out a pot like that. So that's why we don't do such a thing. Even though, as you said, that is a clever scheme there to get people competing for the top three. And the sticker for number four, though. But I, you know, a somewhat better funding model would be that the first person who gets first gets 50% of the funds. The first person gets 30%. The second person gets 15%, and the third person gets 5%, and the site gets to keep the other 50%.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of that for a funding model?
I think that, well, considering how every single month one person shoots sky high, you kind of already figured out who's going to win within the first week. And then everybody else just kind of like says, oh, forget it. I'm not going to bother with it anymore.
Yeah, that's exactly what happens. So, and that's probably part of the reason why we don't do it. But interesting idea, nonetheless.
So basically, every 2 weeks, we kind of know who's going to win in anyway.
Yep. So, the second one?
The second one, kids. Well, I'm not planning on having any time soon. So, I don't think you are, Shane. So, this question is null and void.
Yeah, I'm not planning on either. So, yeah, not anytime soon. But letting them play RS,
You can have them play on your account, Shane, and help you get a 99 fishing.
No, that's illegal. If I was in the position of assigning an age to where somebody could play RS,
13.
Yeah, about that. And I'd want to make sure they were good mannered first, at least.
No more 12-year-old boys.
Yeah, I would limit their age based on that. So, but nonetheless, if they were younger, I would of course show them the game and stuff. But yeah,
Benny did ask me once, but then he got into Maple Story and he kind of forgot all about it. So I said, okay, I'm not gonna bother with it.
And let's just be clear here that Benny is not your son.
No.
What is he?
He is a parasite upon this house.
He's his nephew.
Cousin, actually. Come on,
oh,
Shane.
Oh, okay, cousin. Okay.
Come on, Shane. Ahead. I'm too young to be a... Oh, actually, I am an uncle now. That's... Oh, God, I'm getting old.
Okay. Thank you, RR Man and Sorensen. Be nice to know when you two are starting to have kids together. I mean, I'm just having kids one at a time.
Oh, God. RR Man, make sure you adopt. Oh, I'm sorry.
I don't encourage that. I'm sorry.
So you'd rather have kids stay in the orphanage?
No. Anyways, next one from Italy for Life. You want to read it?
All right. Italy for Life. Hey, guys. I achieved 99 mining recently. And I can safely say it's my favorite 99 skill to have. What is your favorite 99 skill you achieved and why? Thanks.
Farming.
Yeah. I knew it was going to be farming. It was either that or Herbler.
Here's why for me. I really liked farming and Herblore once I first started doing them, and I decided very early on that someday I wanted to get 99, and I did get 99 in both of them. Farming just became a favorite 99 because at the time it was so different from everything else. You could do 3 farming runs in a day, and neither of them would be the same because you just started at a different point and ended at a different point, and you get a completely different farming run. Take, for instance, the herb farming run that I do. There's 120 different ways of organizing the ways to do that farming run.
Mm-hmm.
So it never gets boring, and all you need is seeds, and herb farming is such good money. So, and that's what we saw in the very beginning, too. You could easily get 60 farming within a week and then head on to maples and pineapples and just fund it all the way to herb farming like Chief Snake did. So...
You ever do the allotments? Like regular crops?
The only time I do the allotments is when it's a skill of the month and I'm looking for lots of extra XP and I'll do watermelons in them at that time.
Mm-hmm. But more or less, you just stick with herbs?
Yeah, herbs and cheese. Herbs, maples, pineapples, and whatever seeds I get from the kingdom.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, yeah.
Well, as for me, although fishing is one of my favorite skills that I got 99 in, I gotta say crafting has been really helpful to me. I've managed to really do a lot more of crafting than I've done with fishing, and I've been able to help a lot more people with crafting since you can assist other people with it.
right?
So I'll have to say crafting is what, like, you know, top three.
But how is crafting useful when past level 90 it's just the Onyx stuff?
Uh-huh. Well, I'm still making money off of my dragon stones and whatnot.
Yeah, but that's in the 80s. So, well, I guess it's the idea of going for 99 in the journey. That's a good thing to do. So, okay.
And, you know, if you ever do the whole self-sufficient thing, it's really it's one of those skills that combines with every other one. You can mine the gold, smelt them, craft them, and high alchem if you want to, or, you know, start doing the battle staff stuff for, you know, magic experience. It's a, you know, multi-use skill.
Yep, like for example here, I would need, let's see, what's this number? I would need to mine 141k gold ore to get 99 mining. Then I could take that 141k and then put it into smithing. Just trying to get the keyboard to enter the right numbers here. Just entering the wrong thing. So 99 smithing from my current level would take 151k gold. So then after that, we'd head on over to crafting, and we'd say crafting with the gold bracelets. I don't know, you should know that from level 85. How many gold bracelets does it take?
From 85, it took me... I don't know, I believe it was like 200,000 or so.
Well,
to...
from 86, it says 377,000 for me.
377,000. Oh, I see.
For regular gold bracelets.
Mm-hmm. So, hey, man, multiply that by 220 and you get your end profit.
So 377,000. So 377,009 times 220, 82 million?
Yeah, see? You make 82 million at the end, then subtract whatever it costs for you to buy the stuff, if you're buying anything.
Yeah, and that's pretty much it. Be doable. So,
see,
okay, I see why you like crafting now. Okay, that works.
It's something to do in the spare time. Although, you know, fishing is still one of my favorites because it was my second one. First one was obviously cooking because cooking fish gave you more experience.
Yeah.
All right, so thank you, Italy for life. Let's move on to the next one. Go on, Shane.
This is from iPhone Hybrids. Hey, RSVP Update. This is my first time asking a question, and I'm happy to say I love the show. But on to my question. I have 81 mining and combined red sandstone, but don't have the crafting level to make a flask. So my question is, what is the cheapest and most effective way besides making gold jewelry to level up crafting? Thanks, iPhone Hybrids. Besides gold jewelry...
Well, you know, follow the bandwagon and go with the air battle staff.
Yes, that's what I did.
Mm-hmm.
The only iffy part is that it takes a while to get the battle staffs and orbs. But if you're in no rush, it's a perfect way to go. Because if I just look this up here, when I was doing it, you buy the battle staffs, the orbs, and if you were to high elk them, you would still make a profit. So it's definitely something to consider with that, because an air battle staff sells for 8,900 right now. So you actually make about 400 GP on that from high alking. So that's a good thing. The air orb is 2,400, and the battle staff itself is 7,900. So okay, so yes, you will lose a bit of money. Actually, I'm sorry, I messed that up. But I meant if you could get one of those for free, maybe. That might be something to think of, but...
And although you hate it, just a quick GE lookup. If you go follow my path of gold bracelets, gold bars are only 104 GP each, and they're going down slightly, while gold bracelets right now are 222.
There you go.
So you make, you know, 120% profit.
I think battle staves is the best way to go if you're looking for a compromise between speed and money, because everybody knows that the dragonhide stuff is very expensive to do.
But on the other hand, though, if you're, you know, want to multitask and be doing your homework, you can always do the whole smelting bracelet stuff or whatever you like to do.
And, yeah, that is true.
Do your homework, and then like every 45 seconds, you look back. Oh, it's done. Switch back. Repeat.
Or alternatively, you could fund me, and you could send me a PM, and I could sell you 50 flasks per day at a slightly reduced rate from the Grand Exchange. So it would be better for you to come to me than go on the Grand Exchange if you were just needing a few. I just want to put that out there. I'm not trying to be like a Ferengi or anything and make a business deal here. I'm just putting that out there that I'm willing to do that for anybody who wants flasks.
Alrighty. So yeah, good luck on getting 89 crafting. And to be honest, if you're doing homework and all that kind of stuff, you'll be done a lot sooner than you think.
Yeah.
Just make sure you pay attention to your homework and not the game as much. Hey, you know, I've had friends who wrote RuneScape in their essays, and they gave it to the teacher as a final. Yeah. The teacher was not amused.
All right. Next one.
This question is from Nomad, dear Shane and Cherky. What do you think about bullies in school, and how would you stop them? Thank you. All right, Shane.
There's a few things to keep in mind here. First things first, when you're getting bullied, there's always I'd say about an 80% probability that it's not you that's causing the problem, so don't think that it's you. Number two is that regardless of what people say, talking to a teacher or a parent is the right thing to do. And number three, I think that needs to be said, is that punching somebody in the face or punching them back because they're antagonizing you is not the thing to do. Because in this day and age, if you're the one to first throw the punch, you're the one that's in trouble for some silly reason if you're being attacked. So no. Even if you're being attacked, it's best to just try and run away. I just don't think that's the right thing that the person under who's the victim should be penalized. But so there's my three ways to kind of stop that.
You know, just one other thing: if he starts hitting you, you have all the right to hit him back, because then you're considered using self defense.
Okay, is that how it works in the U.S.? Because here, if you even hit someone when you're under attack, you're liable to being charged.
It depends who the judge believes.
Okay.
As Shane said, you know, really tell the teacher is one of the best ways. And the other thing is, you know, a little sad story that happened a while back. Back when I was in school, there was a kid who was used to continuously bully this little girl. And one day, the little girl did actually bring a gun to school. And she actually said to the teacher that she was almost willing to shoot him if he messed with her one more time. But the teacher caught it, and she got actually more in trouble because she brought a weapon to school and not the other kid.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was talking about. It's a whole thing about victims and stuff. But, you know, it seems like what you just described there is similar to our stance on criminal behavior here in Canada compared to your guys' stance there on criminal behavior in the U.S. But, it's a delicate subject, and it's definitely not right, and there needs to be something more done than besides a kid getting a little, having to stay after for 15 minutes after class or something because he did something wrong. That doesn't teach the kid. That just angers them more and keeps them going on that. You know, for serious instances of bullying, I think there needs to be some kind of law enforcement, and I don't particularly know exactly what the state of bullying laws are in the U.S. at this time, but here, if the bullying case is bad enough, the police can actually get involved.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another thing to keep in mind is it doesn't make sense to just keep it with you and your friends. You need to tell somebody about this who can do something, a teacher or a parent. Now, I say this, you're probably thinking I'm geared towards more at the primary school years, but I am talking about secondary school and elementary as well. I mean, intermediate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, also keep in mind, usually the ones who bully you are trying to fit in.
Yes, that is true, because they probably have some kind of self-deficiency.
But, you know, look at it this way, though. If he's doing this, he won't get far in life, and you'll be whole lot. You'll be running the company that he's working for.
Yes. Or he could be an escaped convict somewhere, and you could be his police officer, and you could beat him over his head with your baton.
Don't do that. Then that's police brutality, and you're even worse trouble.
Shh.
All right, that's about it.
Yes, thank you, Nomad. Next one. Shane,
you take it. Your turn.
Didn't I read the gnome? Or no?
I read it.
Okay. This one's from Firing 401. Dear host, what are your thoughts on the incredibly dim-minded people and congressmen who support the bill H.R. 1981 from the retarded gentleman from Texas, Lamar Smith, the same moron who introduced the dreadful Stop Online Piracy Act? Do you think Congress has the right to regulate the internet? Do you also think Congress understands the users of the web will quickly and easily circumvent any legislation that is forced upon this? The bill I mentioned is a mislabeled bill for protecting children from internet pornographers, but it really requires ISPs to evilly keep a record of every net activity you do, including websites. The privacy aware will circumvent this, but it is still a rape attack to personal digital freedoms. I'd like to debate this guy live rather than going on week by week.
Well, this is your field, not mine, so we all know your stance. Do we really need to get into this thing again?
Well, I'm just going to say it again because it's not like my idea is going to change on this, but do I think Congress has the right to regulate the internet? Yes, as I wrote sometime back last year in an Informer article, it's the new millennium and it's not the wild, wild web anymore, and the internet needs to have controls just like real life has controls. Like, for instance, you don't go online and bully someone or troll someone extensively and expect to get away with that. Would you expect to get away with that in real life?
No, Trekkie? But then, you know, the thing is also there are actually cracking down on cyberbullying.
So. Yeah, well, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. And my whole thing behind regulating the internet is not to take away freedoms. It's to protect people for cases of cyberbullying and the like. And also with this whole thing regarding piracy. Piracy is an evil and it needs to be stopped. And, you know, if you give ISPs the ability or force ISPs the ability to keep track of these things, it will maybe make people think twice. And as you say it, do you think Congress understands the use of the web will quickly and easily circumvent legislation that is forced upon us? Some people, yes. Some people, no, will be able to do that. So it in a way, they're targeting half the people that need to be targeted. But in any case, yes, the internet does need regulations, and really, if an ISP keeps tabs on what you're doing, it's not like they're going to be tracking where you're going. I just don't see the whole issue with saying, oh, here's all the websites this person goes to, if a law enforcement agency has the appropriate warrant or whatever to access that information, right? I mean, we keep our logs for people who access RSBNB. Is that something that people ought to be worried about? I don't think so. And another thing I'd like to throw in with this is that I don't know if you text message or anything, but every text message you sent is actually kept on your mobile phone provider's logs, so they can see all these text messages you're sending. So if you're worried about the internet being tracked and which websites you're going to, you should be worried also about what text messages are being stored at your at the mobile telecom level. Anyways, that's all I have to say with that, because quite frankly, my opinion's not going to change on this, and, you know, just rephrasing the whole thing is not going to change anything either, and, you know, sometimes you just have to keep hammering the point in until people get it, right?
Well, we all know what you believe, Shane, so there's really no point in me saying anything. You're just as stubborn as him.
As who?
Him.
He's not stubborn.
Mm-hmm. All right. Any last remarks?
No.
All right. Then let's move on to the last one.
But you can say what you think on that if you want to.
No. Yeah, you know what I'm going to say anyway, and there's really no point.
Okay.
All right. Well, moving on. Last question we have is from Zero Brandon. Hello, I'm new to RSBNB Update. I love the podcast. I listen to my iPod Touch while I work. My question is it worth getting 85 Mage to avenge all my lurers and hackers that stole my D-Plate Gold Line set? Also, what is a good way to earn some cash? I have 3 mil at the moment, and I'm currently making steel bars. Thank you. I can figure out if he's... Actually, since he's Dragon Play, I would assume that he's a members anyway.
Yeah, an 85 Mage, that would be... that would be Teleblock. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Magic is a good thing to have, but I don't think you'd necessarily be going out to avenge anyone, because if you're not set up to PK, you're probably not going to have much success with that. So keep that in mind. But, you know, Teleblock mm-hmm. is a useful skill to have if you ever do decide to go up PKing. So it's you might as well get it if you have the resources to get it. I mean, it's a natural progression, right? And it's a major milestone when it comes to magic training. So I say go for it if you have the resources.
Mm-hmm. Whoa. Yeah, Mage is always good to have. And good ways to make money. Let's go fishing.
Yes, that is. I don't know what is. Let's see. His fishing level is only 57. So I was going to say go fish rocktail, because, you know, those are going to be going up in price later this month.
Shh. Don't let them know yet.
So let's see. With your skills, relatively average 70-ish. What would I say?
Sell the flask. Oh, wait, you can't do that yet, huh?
No, you can't do that yet. I would say to... I would say to start Slayer training and maybe go do some level 3 clue scrolls. Level 3 clue scrolls are always good for bringing money in the long run, so you might as well go do Slayer, go kill some greater demons or something like that. That's always a good thing, and that'll raise your combat up. And it is true that as your combat level goes up, you do have the ability to fight higher level monsters, which is sadly what the best way is to make money in this game. So that's what I would suggest, Slayer. Also, another thing you could potentially do, since you have 43 farming IC, is go for some herb farming. Because, you know, herbs are always good to sell, maybe even use yourself in Herblore. Because, as we said, it's a combat month and people are going to be needing potions. So if you even just go buy toad flax seeds and farm your toad flax, you'll receive a good amount of money from that over time. I'm not sure how much he has to work with right now. I think he's at 3 mil at the moment. Not much there to do with some flipping. You might do some small grand exchange flipping, but personally I never had much luck with flipping, so it just requires so much attention and whatnot, so I prefer the other ways of making money myself.
I could never flip to save my life, so Doesn't that flipping never helped me?
Yeah. You could also go mining, just mine coal to level 80, for example. Essentially, you have two choices at this stage. Well, three. Well, two, with the third one interweaved. First one is to go do the skilling skills, like mining and whatnot. Mine up until you can mine the gold at the Living Rock Caverns, and then you'll make profit by selling that coal there. And then you can sell the gold for even more profit after. Or you can raise fishing until you can catch rocktails down there, and that'll be good profit as well. So that's one route, the skilling route. The second route is combat, which results in doing Slayer. Let's see, Slayer level currently is 51, so you could do with getting that up. And even then, you'll start getting things that drop clues, and as I said, those will give money over time. So just throw some herb farming in, and you'll gradually increase your money. But for your combat level and your overall level, I think 3 mil is a good amount of GP to have. That's pretty much all I got to say on that one. Do you have anything else?
Nope. Yeah, good luck. That's basically it.
All right. Moving on to tech news now. So, Windows 8 is in development.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be out maybe sometime later this year. We're starting to see more action on it about how it's progressing along the way. And we all know we've used and loved the start button since Windows 95. Well,
the staple.
In the most recent build of Windows 8 that's been floated about, the start button is gone.
No!
You know, personally, I think this is a good thing. And here's why. The way Windows 8 works is that Windows 8 starts up, like Windows Phone, using their Metro Tile Type interface. So you use this interface to access your applications and stuff. Now, there's going to be two types of applications on Windows 8. There's going to be Metro applications that run in the Metro shell, and classic applications like RuneScape and your games that run in the old-style Windows shell. So, the idea is that you'll use the Metro interface as a launcher, and you're just using the classic shell to view your classic Windows. So, in that sense, it doesn't really make sense to have a start button to interact with the classic shell. The classic shell is just a way to use all the classic stuff you've been dealing with, and as a placeholder for your classic applications and documents in the taskbar down below.
Mm-hmm.
So, and, you know, there are people who are not going to like this change. There are people who still want the Windows 98 type of start menu with all the programs in it and whatnot. Those people complained when they moved to XP. Those people complained when they moved further on to Vista or Windows 7. And those people are going to complain once again when they move on to Windows 8. And, you know, there's just something that tells me that this is something that Microsoft needs to do, because Microsoft is the company that is always, always bogged down by legacy code and making sure everything works. And for once, they're finally throwing something away that people have come to rely on, even though it will be painful for some users going forward. It's just something that's required to move Windows forward, in my view.
Okay, well, I'll tell you this. I think most people will stay with Windows 7 for a while. We'll see what happens with the Windows 9 or 10.
Well, you remember odd-even rule, right? Windows 7, good. Windows Vista, yep. Bad. Windows XP, good.
Good.
Windows ME, bad.
Bad.
Windows 98, good.
Good.
So apparently we're due for a bad one.
It takes a while to learn from their mistakes, basically.
It's just like the Star Trek movie rule. Star Trek 2, good. Star Trek 4, good. Star Trek 6, good. All the ones in between, not as good. Not as good.
Oh, you said it, not me.
So, I don't know. I'm actually interested to try this out when it comes along to see how it see how it works, because it's a major way It's a major change in the way Windows works. So I'm happy about that.
All right. Now, if we only disable, if they could just get rid of the whole, what is it, the VA thing? Not the VA, the account user acceptability thing.
Oh, the UAC controls.
Yes, they should just get rid of that one. It's so pointless.
But it's not as bad as in 7 as it was in Vista.
I still get rid. I still turn it off though. It's okay. Still pointless.
I leave it on because I feel that makes me safer.
Okay. Yeah. Each his own.
Anyways, next up, are your pictures safe on Facebook?
No.
Exactly. Because over 3 years later, going to a permalink of a photo, a deleted photo, is still available on Facebook. A photo that was supposed to be deleted.
Well, I'll just say this, Shane. If you ever, you know it, I know it. If you can just also Google any pictures, and pictures that are supposed to have been deleted years ago are still on there. So yep. It doesn't really surprise me that Facebook has this problem. And there's basically reiterating an old news.
Yeah, Facebook actually said that their content distribution system did not always delete images from the content delivery networks in a reasonable period of time, even though they were immediately removed from the website. But they say they're working on a newer system that'll make the process much quicker. So apparently this is just to do with the fact that, you know, it's a neglected part of Facebook, and really if the links aren't there, who's gonna see them, kind of thing, right?
Well, you know, some people when they're hacking can find many, many things, and if you're really desperate, you'll find whatever pictures you're trying to find anyway.
Yeah, that is true.
But, you know, basically also, it's nothing new. Google has the problem. Yahoo has the same problem. That's why you have an image sometime, you click on it, and suddenly it's like, oh, website not found. There's a reason it says that.
Yeah, and also it's time to also highlight once again that if there's something you don't want posted on the internet, or you might not want posted on the internet in the future, just think about 10 years down the line, do I want this on the internet? Say to yourself, should I really post that today?
Mm-hmm.
So just keep that in mind, as I know far too many people out there put too much stuff online, and it's really a bad thing. And I feel like there's a generational gap between your generation and my generation. I mean, our generation and the people who are just coming up to start using the technology, so people who are like 13, 14, 15 right now, because let's be clear, you and I never had this when we were that age, right?
No.
It was never a problem to put that kind of stuff online. At the very best, all you had was a personal website that you controlled. Nowadays, all your content is controlled by a third party, Facebook, Google, Twitter, etc. So it's something that we keep in mind because we had so much control back then of our content, whereas nowadays people just accept that this is the new norm. So just keep that in mind when you're going forward, that, you know, you don't have control of that content. So if you really, really don't want it out 10 years from now, it's probably not a good idea to post it today.
And, you know, also say, remember who you add to Facebook, because what you put on it, people will see it. And if one of them is your boss or your mom and dad, well, you reap the punishment.
Yep, that is true.
Oh, this, you know, my face is Shayna. Quite a few people in the past have said things about their boss, and their boss found out, and it was not really good.
Yeah, and in my view, that's perfect grounds for firing people.
No, you say so. I would
on Facebook.
Well, I would actually post down. Well, if that's how you really feel about me, you have the obligation to quit. But that's all I say. I wouldn't fire them. I'll just make sure I saw
well,
it.
I mean, well, yes, I agree with you there. But I mean, if for example, it was something that was completely derogatory, that wasn't good for the company. But what's that noise?
It's nothing.
Okay.
Neighbor.
So, yes, yeah, so just be careful when you're posting stuff online, because, you know, who knows when this is going to be fixed. We can't see the code, and there's no exact change log for Facebook. So, all right, next up, Google Chrome for Android.
Woo! Doesn't do much yet, though.
Oh, really?
Well, okay, so earlier this week, Google made kind of like a browser for the phone. And the whole idea is that you connect your Google Chrome on your computer with the Google Chrome on your phone and you can share things back and forth. I'll just read what it says here on my phone that I just got it earlier today. Chrome to phone lets you easily share links, maps, and currently select phone numbers and text between your computer and your phone. It comprised of two components, an Android application and a Chrome browser extension. The browser extension can be downloaded from the Chrome extension gallery at chrome.google.com/extensions. Once the Chrome extension is installed on your computer, you can connect your Android phone. You can choose whether links sent to your phone are automatically opened by the appropriate application or left as messages in a status bar which you can action manually. And that's what it says.
So you're able to access your text messages on your Chrome browser? Apparently,
oh, no.
With this?
Well, all it says is it connects your phone to your computer. See. Yeah, I haven't tried it out really, and it's still in the beta, so I don't know what they're trying to do with it yet. I'll play around with it.
Read to me a part again that it said about text messages.
let me see. Hold up. It can easily share links, maps, and currently selected phone numbers and text between your computer and your phone.
Okay, so not text messages, just text. Well, that's good. I like that idea. And I assume it also is going to sync bookmarks and everything, too?
Don't know. Like I said, I just downloaded this, and I haven't tried anything with it yet, so we'll see what happens.
Do you use Chrome on your desktop, though?
Not really. I only use Chrome when I'm doing the show with you, and I use Firefox for everything else.
Okay. I know that would be a really great thing if it synced the bookmarks and stuff, which it probably does because, you know, it's all part of Chrome. So, but I'm really wanting something like that for iOS. I wish they would port Google Chrome to iOS. That would be like the ultimate solution for me because I have all these bookmarks in Chrome that are just really a pain to access from the phone.
Whoa. All right, well, but, I don't know. I'll mess around with it and see what happens.
Thing.
But I don't know. The whole idea, you're connecting everything to your phone now, which one day when someone steals your phone, you're totally screwed.
Yeah, that is probably true. That's a good reason to input a passlock code on it, you know? I don't know if the Android phones have something like this, but iOS, there's an ability called Find My Phone, and it shows you where the phone is with the GPS locations.
Yeah,
and
usually,
also with it, you can send a message to it, and if you decide to, you can actually have it wipe the phone. If you determine that you're not going to be getting it back, so you can wipe all your personal information off it.
Remote. Well, Android has it too, but those are like pay apps. So,
okay.
If you want it, you can use it. If you don't, so be it.
You know, I always have this fantasy where we could get the iPhone or something, you know, if it's stolen or something, and make the battery explode or something and injure the person who has the phone.
Uh-huh.
I'd like to be able to do that. Like a self-destruct for the phone, you know?
Basically make it like a little... what is it, Mission Impossible?
Yeah, like a little bomb.
Inspector Gadget?
Yeah, like that. Anyway, so that's Chrome for the phone. So.
All right. And,
that's it for tech news.
It's been a slow week on tech news this week.
Yeah, it has. You know, once the whole CES thing subsided last month, we'll just get a little trickling out until probably June or so. But anyways, time for a skill of the month update. February, Hunter, currently winning, I'd say, with 1.3 million experience gained. Second place, Poison Nova with 800,000. Third place, Minor Goo with 520K.
Third place is actually is where it's at right now.
Yeah, it looks like it's a race for third between Minor Goo and Taco Guy. Then after that, who knows what'll happen, but still got about 2.5 weeks left of the month. So, short month, so get as much XP in while you can. And everybody who entered, get XP, because there's about six people on this list who didn't get XP yet. So,
really? What were they doing in the past 2 weeks?
Oh, one of them is Sorensen57.
Haha! So. Bad boy.
Anyways, that's the Skill of the Month update. Keep racing, keep it interesting, don't let it stagnate. We don't like when it stagnates.
Yes, did that last week. That was actually a surprise.
Last month, you mean?
Oh, no, like last week when it kind of plateaued.
Oh, okay.
Remember that one?
Well, keep racing, yeah. Like, I feel like the skill of the months that are the most active are the ones where I compete in them, because everybody signs up because they want to beat me. So if it's a skill of the month that I'm in it to win, it will be a very competitive skill of the month because everybody wants to beat me.
I don't want to beat you.
Oh, okay.
You're not worth beating.
I'm just remembering the last farming skill of the month we had. So, anyways, achievements of the week. Or achievement, rather. You can just tell us what it is, because there's only one of them.
All right. Congratulations to LaxLife, who got 99 mining on February 6, 2012. Yeah. So, congrats to you. You have more willpower than I do.
Yeah. That's a hard one to do. So, congratulations there.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, I guess we'll move on to my pick of the week.
All right.
So, Shane, you remember, like, way back when with the Atari and, you know, NES and everything. There was just one little game that everybody played, even in the arcade. It was Pac-Man.
You know, and Atari was the first game system that I ever played on.
Yes, you said that last week. And, well, anyway, and as you know, for those who know what Pac-Man is, if you don't, I feel sorry for you. You're always playing as Pac-Man and go around gobbling up little dots and trying to avoid the ghosts. Well, this little game here that I this little flash game that I found reversed the roles, and you actually get to be one of the ghosts. So I believe you're the red one. I think you can change you can choose the color if you play around some of the settings. I'm assuming. And, you know, after about 5-10 seconds, you're allowed out, and you can actually use the arrow keys to come by and try to kill Pac-Man. So, of course, don't forget, Pac-Man has the power balls that can eat you up. And, well, let's just face it. Let's remember, Shane, cannibalism is not allowed.
Yes. So how do you kill Pac-Man?
Walk up to it, touch it, and meow, 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 poop.
But I just thought you said that Pac-Man can eat you.
If it grabs a power ball, remember?
Oh,
okay. Did you used to play Pac-Man when you were a kid?
Not really, no.
Oh, you suck.
Right, so. Yeah, but I did try this game, and you know, you don't really see many of these Flash games anymore, and I think the Flash games are ultimately probably heading in a bad direction, heading towards Facebook or Google Plus type games, which I don't like. But anyways, check this out. It's a good thing to waste some time with.
And, you know, go back to your roots. Go back to gaming roots. And whatever you do, don't get in.
Yep.
Okay.
Next up, the Winter Survey. Yes, we're still mentioning this Winter Survey. We're going to be mentioning it all this month. So we do want you to take the Winter Survey. If you haven't already taken it, it would be a good thing for you to do because, well, it helps us determine where the show should head and what the demographic of the people listening to the show consists of. So if you guys are all skill peers, we'll know to target the target the show that way, or if you're all maxed 138 combat, people will know to target the show in that other way. So definitely fill it out. Leave us some praise. Leave us some suggestions. This is pretty much
your time to
write in anonymously, say you hate us, say you think that you'd like two liberals instead of one liberal and one conservative doing this show. Or say if you'd like two conservatives, which I could arrange at some point, but I think we'll still keep Trekkie around.
Joy.
Yes.
Is that why you keep me around? To give a more liberal picture?
No, not at all. You were chosen based on your merits.
Uh-huh. Name one.
You play RuneScape and you check out all the updates and you're very active in that field.
Uh-huh. All right, name two.
You have the ability to put yourselves in the shoes of a player who's not at your combat level and come up with a solution for them.
All right, whatever. Anything else to add to the show, Shane, before we end?
Not really. Let's just talk about what we've been doing this week.
Well, you were raising crafting for a while.
Yeah, I did get 86, as I mentioned, last weekend. Just in the nick of time before this came out. I think I started the Friday after I finished recording here. So I have 86, got 86 crafting on Sunday, I think. And it just turns out that luckily this week was that update. So I did it at the right time. And I was thinking of maybe I can delay this, but I better go quickly on this. So, but I got 86 crafting now. I think I got that on, I think it was Sunday.
Sunday
or Monday. I forget which it was. But okay. I think I should say thank you to the people out there who did spend some time on the GE and sold me some battle staves, sold me some air orbs, and specifically actually to a Tal Armanda figure who agreed to let me use his battle staves, and I will make them into air orbs for him so he will get a bit of profit. And in return, I get a cheaper crafting cost and faster. So, thank you to him.
Alrighty. Let's see. What did I do this week?
Oh,
I
didn't
do
and much. Also I did lots of programming this week. Yeah.
I didn't do much this week. Not RuneScape related anyway. Did a little bit more of a fire making training. I'm almost to 86. I'm like less than 6K away.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, let's try to get into 90. Was it 91 for that curse thingy?
Yeah, for the mini game thing.
Yeah, so try and get up to 91, and I've been fishing. Wink, wink.
Oink, oink.
Wink, wink.
Oh, okay. I thought you said oink oink for some reason.
Oh, you're cute, Shane. yeah, that's about it. I didn't do this a lot on RuneScape this week. Been busy.
Because he's been killing Borg cubes.
No comment. Still waiting for you to level up, Shane. You're taking forever.
I know. I'm getting there.
Although I got to try and figure out what the hell happened with your quest thing that's bugged up for you.
Yeah, that's a Star Trek Online issue, but this is not a Star Trek Online show, so we won't go into that here. But I did do a bit of that this week as well with my programming and the usual farming and collecting the daily sandstone. You know, sadly, I think the next thing I have to do on RuneScape is Slayer, because I am low on fire runes. I am low on air runes. I am low on money. And I need to get my goal. One of the goals this year is 99 Constitution. So I need to start on that at some point. So I do need to do a bit of Slayer to just restock the coffers and whatnot. So I got to do that at some point.
Restock the coffers. Yeah, mine's kind of stagnant a little bit too. Glory is kind of mellowed out.
Yeah. Because, I mean, back last summer, I was at about 80 million GP, and now I'm at about 1.1. So, wow. And you know, that major depletion was getting 95 prayer.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, definitely got to restock.
I know that feeling. Yep. Let me see. I think I got 40,000 fire runes in my bank.
No, that's good. I got like 8K. That's it.
Let me have a quick peek at my bank and see what I got anyway.
Anyways, I think I'm done for this week. If you don't have anything else to mention.
Enter the contest and then we'll pick the top three, and the top three will get a small prize paid by me. And Alrighty. It's coming out of my bank account, not Shane's, not anybody else. So yes, it's coming out of me. I'm being the liberal guy and paying out of my own pocket.
Spreading the wealth.
All right, so if that's all, I will all see you guys next week. Again, this is Trekkie and this is Shane, and we'll see you guys next week.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.